And welcome back with part two of today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. Joseph Cooper comes back on Monday. He took the day off. It's no secret that South Miami-Dade is a vibrant hub for tropical fruit farming. And this time of year brings a bounty of juicy, delicious varieties. Dragon fruit, passion fruit, red guava, papaya. Heaven sent. Chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer is here, and also some luscious fruit for us to sample, and somebody who brought those luscious fruits.
Luscious fruits. Hi, Bonnie. Hi. Nice to be here. As you mentioned, have you noticed in the stores
yes.
the tropical fruits and all? I used to think that nothing, you know, we didn't have any produce here in the summer because of our climate and all, but actually we have wonderful produce, and as you mentioned, all the different ones, amazing fruit. Maybe you even have some in your backyard and you'd know what to do with it.
Right.
So we have someone who's going to help us out. And she's Mary Osland, and she's the marketing director for Brooks Tropicals. So let's welcome Mary.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great to be here. You've brought
Hi,
the most
Mary.
Wonderful display. Wonderful
oh, yeah.
display of fruit. And of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions about the tropical fruits in your yard or in the market? Or maybe you have some suggestions on how to use them. We'd love to hear from you. It's 800-947.
It's 800-743-9576.
Someday I might get it right.
Maybe.
You never know. You could keep, yeah, right. Let's say it again. 800-743-WLRN.
That's
okay?
another way.
That's
or
another
radio
way.
At radiowlrn.org is our email, and that's easy too.
And our restaurant news segment is going to be later in the program. Jen Koretnik, she's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine, is going to join us with this week's restaurant news and maybe some tips on where to eat out this weekend.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to hear from her. And by the way, there's a video of all the fruit, what they are, and their uses. Mary and I made it, and then Bonnie joined in because she always joins in when it's time to taste.
Especially fruit.
Fruits. And if you go to WLRN.org, click the video section.
On the Facebook,
Facebook
page.
Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And you can even get it to it from WLRN.org. So anyway, go and have a look at it because you'll see all these wonderful fruits, and she made us a wonderful smoothie with it.
Ah. Delicious.
Well, let's go to Mary. We've talked about this display of fruit. What are we looking at, Mary?
Today I brought, a wide variety because, as you said, time of the year when tropicals are at their best in South Dade, the heat, the humidity that they love obviously is present. And so I brought with me Florida avocado, I brought some papaya, I brought some dragon fruit, red guava, also brought some star fruit just coming into season. So brought a bevy of fruit that I think fun to eat and it will be great to talk about.
Well, it is great to talk about. Let's start with this dragon fruit because let's first explain what it looks like because it's beautiful.
Well, it's bright, shocking pink with green, neon green tips. Looks like a cactus. But, oh, by the way, it is related to the cactus family, so there is a reason for
no
that.
No pricklies on it, though.
No pricklies on it. I call it the psychedelic hood ornament of the produce aisle. It's attention-getting.
It is gorgeous.
But what's funny about the fruit is if you cut it open, it's such a beautiful, timid inside, white with tiny black specks.
So it's creamy white inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the little seeds, are they edible? Can you eat them?
Oh, definitely.
Yes?
Definitely eat them. I call the insides kind of 101 Dalmatians of the fruit. I mean, it looks like that, but the seeds are definitely edible. Adds texture to the fruit itself.
They look just like, and they don't taste like, but look just like. And the sides are of poppy seeds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Definitely.
And they're very pretty garnish. I mean, if you're going to have a salad or anything, just to put that out, or even a display, I think you should just take some of this fruit and use it as a centerpiece on a table. They're so pretty.
Well, a tropical fruit platter definitely is a conversation starter, but also a conversation ender because you're going to start eating fruit and all of a sudden no one's talking.
Well, that's wonderful.
That's fine.
Can you freeze it?
Now, dragon fruit, I don't suggest freezing, but passion fruit, I freeze. I take open passion fruit. I scoop it out and I put it into ice cube trays, freeze it, and then I'll pop them out and put them into plastic bags so they're like little squares. I eat one of those squares every morning, or passion fruit every morning, with my oatmeal. I cook it with my oatmeal. So
that
I just pop it in.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's talk about the passion fruit for a little bit. It's about the size of a very large plum. And
definitely.
It's very wrinkled. Now, people think when it's wrinkled, it's not good.
I know. What a funny fruit, because it's such a beautiful fruit when it's not ripe. Shiny outer skin, color ranging from a deep crimson to a light green. And you think, what a gorgeous fruit. It's got to be great tasting. But wait. Wait until it's all wrinkled and dry and dull looking, because the more wrinkly it is, the sweeter it is.
I like that. That is really good. The fact that there is anything that when it's wrinkled is good is very nice to hear.
I'm with that too. Yes.
Okay. We just found out about a wrinkle cream that in the last segment.
In the last segment, I see. Well, I don't think the passion fruit doesn't need that cream.
Okay. No passion fruit cream.
No.
I love passion fruit because it's one of the few tropical fruits, when you cook with it, it still has this wonderful fragrant
definitely
aroma and flavor to it.
Passion fruit is fantastic, both raw and cooked, and it almost takes on a different personality. When raw, it's the pulp and the seeds are fantastic, added to iced teas, waters, just topping yogurt is a lot of folks' favorite way to enjoy it. But when you cook it, the seeds take on a crunchy, almost nutty-like texture, and you can add it to apple crisp or baked goods and really gain an additional depth of taste by adding passion fruit.
Wonderful.
Let's give the number again in case you want to call. 1-800-743-9576. Anything about tropical fruits that you'd like to ask, Mary knows the answer. 1-800-743-9576. Putting you on the spot, Mary.
Okay. So, and then we mentioned red guava. Now, I always thought that you had to cook guava, that because we always have it in pastries, guava pastries and all that. Tell us about it.
All tropicals are funny because they're grown in the tropics around the world. Red guava, known cooked, but so nice raw. You can eat it like an apple. The skin on the outside is a tad bit bitter, but it's a nice contrasting taste to the sweet interior. There is a reason why we use red guava in our pastry. It's a sweet fruit, and it's great raw or cooked. I love to cook it with my vegetables. What a great...
Let me step back a minute. Are you telling me that I should eat this guava with the skin on as if it were an apple?
Well, if you...
Just bite into it?
You can just bite into it.
Wow.
Now, remember, though, the seeds are a little bit something you might want to navigate around. My grandmother said it best when she said guava seeds should be swallowed, not eaten. But nonetheless, those seeds still have all the great nutrients that red guava has. Red guava delivers like 5 times the amount of vitamin C you use per cup. Potassium, excellent. You think banana's good on potassium? Red guava's better. So those seeds have those nutrients also.
I have no idea.
No, and so many of these tropical fruits actually are really very healthy.
Very healthy. Yeah. Papaya, excellent. Vitamin C, vitamin E, antioxidants. Almost every fruit I brought today are known for the antioxidants and the health benefits that those bring.
Wow. Now, we also have, we have the star fruit. So the star fruit's out now. And it's such a pretty thing to put on a salad.
I know. And you know, star fruit, it's just coming into season. And it's exciting because the fruit itself, what's great about the fruit, it's a nice garnish, don't get me wrong. I mean, who wouldn't eat something with garnish by star fruit?
Let's explain what it looks like, because we keep thinking it's so pretty.
It's basically an oblong fruit with ridges, and you'd wonder, why are they calling it star fruit? But then you slice it, and it turns into star slices.
Shape of a star, right.
Shape of a star.
And they're yellow.
Well, you can eat them when they're a tinge of green, but the yellower they are, the sweeter they are. And basically, they're easy to prepare. You basically take them. I take a vegetable peeler and just run them across the ribs of the fruit, and then just slice it. Poke out the seeds if you want. Leave them in. Doesn't matter. They're easy to eat.
And, sometimes they're a little sweet, a little mm-hmm. sour, a mm-hmm. little citrusy, and I'll make it in a sauce and put it over like tuna or something like that. It's a pretty garnish to the tuna, but it gives it a little acid flavor to it, and that's really a nice accompaniment with it.
Well, starfruit has for going for it not only its shape, but it's also good chopped up like in salsas, guacamoles, a lot of things.
Well, that's wonderful. We have we have a call coming in. We have, I think it's Tim. Tim in Delray Beach. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I called because we live in South Florida, and there are so many fruit trees. I happen to be Haitian, and Haitians, they love growing papaya and avocado. They're all over the place. We have mangoes. I hear you guys talk about mangoes a lot. I know you're big lovers. So I started a nonprofit because my passion is education. And what I do is I harvest the fruit, mostly coconuts right now. And
We didn't mention that she also, she's filled up the studio with these wonderful coconuts. So go ahead. We only have a half a minute, so go ahead.
You know, more people would eat coconuts if they knew how to open them, if they could even get them down. But, you know, nuts for education, we're not profit, and it's a great way to get a lot of the fruit you find right here in South Florida. Low carbon footprint. And the proceeds do go to education. So,
wonderful.
You know, I wanted to throw that out there for you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for bringing up coconut because I
thank you, Tim, for calling.
Thank you, Tim, for your call.
Yeah.
Wonderful program. I always listen.
Thank you.
Fresh
Bye-bye.
Coconut is so much worth the effort. You know, we love shredded coconut, but the preservatives and sugars that are added to it, fresh coconut, a little tougher to get, but well worth it, definitely.
Okay.
If you go on my website, I do have a way to extract the meat out and have beautiful slivers like
yes.
I brought today. Well,
and these slivers are wonderful. We have Linda in Miami. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi. I got a question. The first dragon fruit I tasted was white, and it was wonderful. But I've also gotten some from the grocery store that is pink on the inside. It was less sweet. Is that the same thing, just a different variety, or
just
is it a whole
different
thing?
Yeah, no, you named it. It's a different variety. Dragon fruit comes in two colors, white and red. It's also called pitaya. It's just a different variety. Actually, there's a third variety, but you rarely see it around the Miami area.
And you did mention that to have it at its best is to wait till it gives a little bit to pressure, and you'll know that it's sweet and ready.
That's
right.
True.
Okay.
Linda, thanks,
thank you.
So what's the third variety? Now I've got my curiosity going.
Oh, it's more of an Asian variety, and the outside is yellow, where the two dragon fruit varieties I talked about have that shocking pink and green exterior.
Okay. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Linda. We need to go to a break now.
Okay.
I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and my guest is Mary Ostlund. She's from Brooks Tropicals. We're talking about, as you can guess, our local fruit here, tropical fruits. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guest is Mary Ostlund. She's from Brooks Tropicals. She's their marketing director. She's been giving us some wonderful tips on how to use the tropical fruits that are available right now in our backyards and our stores on maybe fruit stands.
Mm-hmm.
Really great tips. By the way, you can see a video of all the fruit that we're talking about mm-hmm. and a wonderful smoothie that she made. It's at the WLRN Facebook page. It's their live video page. And so that would be interesting if you want to have a look and see what's going on with it. Also, on my Facebook page, I have a picture of all these wonderful fruits that are here. But right now, it's dinner in minutes time. And you can spice up a hot night with this real easy Thai beef pasta salad. And the Thai flavor comes from bottled peanut sauce. And I just mix a little of the peanut sauce with some mayonnaise, and that's my dressing. So easy. I use a deli roast beef, and here's another tip. We want the roast beef to be in cubes and all, so when I ask the deli to slice it, I don't want a thin slice. I say make it a quarter-inch slice. That's a big slice, and then I can take it home and cube it very simply. So mix that into my mayonnaise and peanut sauce. And then I have some pasta, cook up some pasta, put that in, maybe some sliced red bell pepper. And my recipe calls for pineapple cubes. But if you have these wonderful tropical fruits, put those in instead. And you'll have a wonderful, colorful salad. Mix it all together and sprinkle some peanuts on top. Such an easy recipe for these warm nights. And the complete recipe and a photo, that's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And now we have our restaurant reviewer with us. She's Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Welcome, Jen. What's new on the restaurant scene?
Hi, Linda. Nice to be here. Well, you know, we've been all over South Beach lately, and one of the restaurants I'm... We're always all over the place. You know, Wynwood, South Beach. Wynwood's kind of a mess right now. I don't know if you've been down there, but the streets are all torn up. Even though Wynwood is always fun, I've just been around, and it's getting a little hectic. So even though South Beach is always hectic, the restaurant scene is, it's been improving lately. You know, the service in some of the places are really nice. We went to Tatel recently.
That's
T-A-T-E-L.
Okay, and where is that?
That's in the Ritz-Carlton.
On South Beach.
On South Beach.
Right.
And the service there is absolutely lovely. There were four people around our table constantly, and it wasn't just our table. You could look around and see that there was always people attentively watching every table. And I have to say, you know, for South Beach, that's pretty good. You know, we know what service is like everywhere.
How was the food?
The food is delicious. It really is. There's a very large selection of Spanish cuisine. This is the place that's owned by Rafael Nadal, the tennis star, and Enrique Iglesias. So sometimes you think, oh, these places that are owned by celebrities may not be so great. But it really is very nicely done. We had, you know, some excellent fish. They do a lobster with rice. That's really very good. They do a lot of things tableside.
Where is
it,
Jen?
So if you liked your service tableside, this is in the South Beach Ritz-Carlton.
Ah, okay.
And they have this, they also have this gorgeous chandelier. So if you're into design, you have to go into the bar area and look at this chandelier that they had to hang, you know, like panel by panel. And just marvel at the engineering.
Wow.
But they do a lot of the food tableside, which I always find really kind of comforting to see them prepare the food for you, know what's going into it. So they have a veal milanesa that they then put an egg on top, and then they pour little pieces of black truffle over. And
wow.
It's simply done, but it's delicious.
Well, and it's also, that takes a lot of talent. So that's sort of something that's gone by the way lately. It's nice to hear it's coming back. Is there another restaurant you want to mention?
There's a newer one at the Delano, Lania, and it's a kind of an Argentine-Asian place, and they're doing a really nice brunch. So if you're also looking for, you know, it's parking around there is hard, always do the valet, and you and I know our little tricks for the valets now. So if your car to be close, give them a 20, tell them keep your car there, otherwise you're going to be waiting half an hour. But
that's
the
too bad.
But there are really stepping up their game.
Yeah, but there are
public lots
yes. nearby, and I always go into the public lots because it's just a short walk, and it's easier that way, and it's a lot cheaper. Go ahead,
the
Dan.
Public lots are cheaper. If you go on an off night, like a Tuesday or a Monday, you can usually find a spot on the street. Places down south of Fifth, like if you're going to go to Prime 112 or Prime Fish or one of those places, there are spots on the street. So if you go on an off night, especially, you know, this late summer time, August, September, you can find a spot pretty easily. Otherwise, you have to have your little tricks up your sleeve.
Okay.
What I'm finding is that the hotel restaurants that sometimes we poo-poo, they've been around a long time, they've been stepping up their game, and it's kind of nice to see.
Great advice. Thank you very much, Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine.
Thanks,
and
Linda.
I'm glad that you were looking at the chandelier in the bar. What else were you doing? I don't know. But anyway.
Up. You know, you always look down at your plate. Sometimes you have to look up.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you, Jen Koretnik. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda.
All right.
Bye.
Back to Mary Oslin from Brooks Tropicals with all this tropical fruit here. But there's one thing in the basket you've got brought here that's not really a fruit. What is it? It's a big avocado?
It's a big avocado, yes. They're Florida avocados, and we call them slimcados. They have half the fat, third fewer calories of a Hass avocado.
Wait, so it's slimcado, C-A-D-O. That's what we've been seeing on the signs. I was wondering, what is that all about?
That's what they are. They're Florida avocados. They naturally are less fat, fewer calories, although they still have the monounsaturated fat that we know have come to expect from avocados. High in vitamin C, high in folate, and also high in fiber. They have a lighter taste, but it's definitely creamy, definitely buttery, sometimes nutty.
Very nice, very nice. But, you know, we haven't gotten to all the food that you actually made and brought. And Bonnie has been spending the entire time here eating this.
Oh, my. You make it sound like all I do is eat.
Well, you haven't said much.
Well, that's true.
So you made a guacamole with this wonderful avocado. But what's the pink one next to Bonnie there?
The one next to Bonnie, what I did was I chopped up some papaya and put in some star fruit with a squirt of lime.
It is so good.
Ah, and just a touch of honey. I think makes it really good. Also added some cilantro and a simple salsa. Just adding a couple of tropical fruits can really be.
So the basis is that just some lime, a little honey, some cilantro, and do you have any hot peppers in there?
You could put hot peppers in. Nothing wrong with that. But I wanted to just highlight the fruit today and keep it simple, so I kept the hot peppers out of that. And then the one next to it, I made a guava, a red guava salsa. And again, very simple, just lime, cilantro again, and just chopped guava. They're both really kind of showstoppers. You know, toss on crackers, on bread, chips, what have you.
And they're so colorful and so pretty.
So pretty.
We didn't get to one more big, big fruit that's in the, and that's a papaya. So tell us about that.
Papayas, you know, you see them large. Papaya is, you know, their nickname in Spanish is fruta bomba, literally fruit bomb, because they're so big. And then there's the small, the solo papaya. The large papaya, it's fantastic. And to me, it's like more bang for your buck. I usually get it home, chop it up, and that's my breakfast.
When is it ripe?
It's ripe when it gives to a little squeeze. Our papayas, once they get to about 100% yellow, about 50% yellow, just give them a little squeeze. If they give, then they're ripe.
Okay.
But the thing about papaya, here's my secret. Almost the uglier they are, the sweeter they are. Oh. So there are times at Publix
another
when I buy
ugly
one.
I know. Sweetness, like passion fruit.
I know. Wow. It's funny. Sometimes I buy it at Publix and they offer to go back and get me another one. No, I want this
so
one.
So what makes them ugly?
Well, it's just as the fruit ripens, it gets sweeter. And I'll give you another hint about papaya that I love is that if you chop it up for a salad, make sure you do it the night before, only because overnight, papaya gives out this really beautiful glaze that you'll have the next morning.
How interesting.
To your
I never thought
salad.
Of that. That's wonderful. There's so much more. We could talk forever, but we're just out of time. It's been a wonderful, interesting week. Mary Oslin, she's the marketing director for Brooks Tropical. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And for all this wonderful fruit. And thank you to Jen Koretnik, restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Bonnie, great to be with you.
It was great, and thank you so much, Mary. The fruit was delicious.
Thank you,
and,
Bonnie.
And next week, we're going to be talking with Penny Parham. She's the director of food and nutrition for Miami-Dade County Schools, and Mary Mulder, director of food and nutrition services for Broward School. Can you believe that school
yes.
is back in session a week and a
no,
half?
Oh,
my goodness. Mm. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're going to really talk about school food next week. Join me then.
And that wraps up today's Topical Currents. Our lead producer is Richard Eyes, with technical direction from online producer Jason Zapka. Polly Landis is associate producer. As ever, we have free audio archives for download at our website, WLRN.org. There's also the Topical Currents Facebook page, as well as the iTunes podcast, and also the WLRN Facebook page, our Facebook Live today with Linda and Mary. You can see all these wonderful fruits. Joe and I return for Monday's program and a visit by Matthew Schwartz, the executive director of the South Florida Wildlands Association. Things are looking up for the environmentalists in South Florida. Deregulation on federal and state lands is well underway. They're looking down. How will our region be impacted? Bonnie Berman for Joseph Cooper. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next for NPR News.